Well, I thought this was going to be my podcast now, but
I'm still here.
But it appears somebody missed their golden chance.
I'm still slumming it with you, buddy.
Yeah, you got you got the golden ticket from the chocolate factory, and what happened?
So, still trash talk with Blind Mike. Welcome, folks. And that is still full-time producer Dan Watkins.
Yes, I'm here.
And my seeing eye man. I'm still slumming it down here in the podcast world. I could have been a big-time radio star. And, you know, we usually start this show by talking about the biggest asshole of the week. So I got to be fair. This week, I think the biggest asshole in media has got to be me.
I think it's you.
Far and away.
Yep.
For anyone that listens to the Kirk and Callahan program, you know that because of the storm on Tuesday, there was an absence. Tanger, Gary Tangway, couldn't make it in. And I gotta say, first of all, I guess the email he sent to Curtis and Ken, it's why I love Tangway. All it said was, "Boys, don't look for me."
Which, boys, it's look for me.
It's classic Tangway, and I love it. But yeah, Tangway, you know, the snow out there in Rumford, Maine, or wherever he comes in from, was too much for him. He couldn't make it. So KNC put the call out. Anyone in Boston media who wants an opportunity, come on in. I did not see that tweet. So you could say, Mike, you weren't on Twitter. Not really your fault. Well, hold on a second. Because I got a text from Cowboy Ken Laird. And Ken Laird, along with Rob Bradford, they've done a lot for me. They helped me get this podcast, and they've helped me out with it a lot. So Ken Laird has been my guardian angel, and he was looking out for me again that day, and he said, "Hey, Mike, Tangway bailed. This is your opportunity. Come in for an hour tomorrow." And I look at my phone, and I was in just utter disgust. Why? Because I was out in Foxwoods.
Right.
And you could say, Mike, what are you, gambling? You can't take a night off of gambling? No, no. I wasn't in Foxwoods for a fun reason.
Battling in the streets.
I work. I have another job for Entercom, for EEI. They had an event down there at Entercom. I mean, at Foxwoods, rather, that I had to be at the next morning. That's why I was at Foxwoods overnight.
On the front lines.
I had to be up at the event started at like 7:30 in the morning. So I had to be up early for it. Now, I'm going to be honest. I think my bosses won't love to hear this. I would have gladly hightailed it out of there and skipped that event to be on Kirk and Callahan. I don't think that's any secret. Obviously, that's a huge opportunity. I really think I would have killed it, or I would have embarrassed myself and run myself out of the business.
No in between.
It would have been one or the other.
No
certain,
in between.
Because I would have taken a lot of big swings. So it would have been one or the other.
When you texted me Monday night, you just sent me, "Why?" And I was like, immediately my first thought is, "Oh, okay, this podcast is over."
Yeah.
Clearly, it's just been too much, and it's done with. But no, I feel for you, man.
So then you could say, Mike, if you're willing to miss the event, why don't you just drive back? Well,
For those of you
that are confused by the title, Trash Talk, a media podcast with Blind Mike, why do they call this poor guy Blind Mike? Well, it's because I'm actually blind, legally blind, but blind enough so that I don't have my license. So I myself don't drive. I've got my two coworkers that were there with me. One's sick. Sick as a dog, can't leave. And the other's just sort of a bum. So they're not going to drive me back. So now I'm exploring my options. And people are saying, why don't you just Uber? Well, I also make no money. Yeah. So I look at the amount.
You got $300?
I look at the amount that an Uber would cost from Foxwoods to Boston in a snowstorm. And I would have paid it. And I probably should have just paid it and asked questions later. But I didn't have that money even in my account. It was an embarrassing, honestly. I've wanted to puke a lot of times. Essentially, every time I've been to Foxwoods, I've wanted to vomit. Never for this sort of reason, though.
Did you look into dog and sled teams?
I looked into everything. And no one would take... No one... I couldn't find a soul to bring me.
From the swamps of Connecticut?
I have no friends that give enough of a shit about me to do that.
You didn't even ask.
I mean, in a way, I did.
You didn't? No, you didn't.
I said, you know, it sucks that I can't get back. I really wish I could drive, Dan. You see what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm putting down here?
Yeah, and I couldn't either. I mean, there was a snowstorm.
It was a snowstorm. So I had to respond to Ken Laird. I can't. I can't. I can't make it. I'm stuck at, and then I said I'm stuck at Foxwoods, so I'm sure he's thinking, oh, this fucking asshole. He's out gambling on a Monday night, right, so he can't come.
Sounds
here.
Perfect.
Yeah. So then I wake up at 6 in the morning just to listen and see what they say.
Did he, going back to the Ken text, did he ask you if you had Mutt with you?
Yeah, me and Mutt were boozing out at Foxwoods. So the next morning I turn it on at 6 and I have to listen to this, where they're talking about Tangway. They're talking about some guy from Nesson that jokingly said he was going to come in and then was like, oh, I'm just kidding, I'm not going to venture the snow. And I forget if it was Kirk or Callahan said, does anyone in this city have any ambition anymore? And it was a shot to the gut. I was sitting in my 25th floor of the Fox Tower just thinking, just jump, you coward.
Overlooking the Tanger outlets.
Just end it. But I stayed strong. I commiserated with John Farrell. We talked about our shared enemies that cover the Red Sox. Just if you listen to my other podcast or follow me on Twitter, just think of who I hate that covers the Red Sox. Farrell, also not a big fan. So me and John, I take back anything negative I ever said about John Farrell. Great guy.
Are you going to be leading the charge for John Farrell to get his job back?
Yeah. When the Red Sox win 70 games this year, I'll say, hey, you know what? My pal John wasn't so bad. So that helped the suicide watch. And then we ventured back through the snow. So I'm seeing this bad weather again 2 days in a row. And I send the old text out to Ken Laird. I go, hey, if you need anyone, I'm on my way back to Brighton. No response. He was like, yeah, we're done with you now.
And you blew it.
Minahan said at one point, he goes, hey, if you miss this one, and it really, I'm sure he wasn't talking to me. I'm sure he didn't even know I was asked. Probably above his, over his head. Doesn't know about that kind of stuff. Or under his head. Whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. But it felt like he was talking to me when he said, hey, if you miss this one, that's it. You're done. I was like, oh no. So all I can hope is that Tangway bails on the last second again, which if I know my man Gary, he'll do that.
Yeah, they're saying another storm possibly coming in this week.
That's all I can hope for. Hopefully Gary's booked, because God knows he ain't showing up in that kind of weather. So hopefully we get another horrible bout of weather again, and they come crawling back to me. Because I swear, I won't leave the state for the next 5 years. I swear to God, I really fucked up. And I was nauseous over it. I was sick. But yeah, I'm an idiot. And I in hindsight, maybe I should have just walked, thumbed for a ride. Because it's a rough one to come back from. If you get an opportunity like that, because I would have crushed it. I honestly believe that.
Would you have sold yourself?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
That's no problem. Yeah. I have no morals when it comes to that.
All right. Just making
area.
Sure.
No, yeah.
Just making sure.
Undoubtedly. And at Foxwoods, you were around the right crowd for that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have gotten a ride back here. Yeah. I don't think you tried hard enough.
I mean, that's how it feels in hindsight. That's how it feels. And I would have crushed it. I would have been better than Gilroy and Ty Anderson. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, hopefully, opportunity comes knocking again. But we'll see. So all I have now is to do this podcast. I mean, this great podcast that I love doing. keep crushing it here is all I have left now. So people, you know, keep subscribing on iTunes and give us the old 5-star rating, please. I need it. So speaking of assholes. I'm the biggest asshole this week, but there was a bigger asshole that presented himself a few weeks ago. The former, now president of ESPN, John Skipper, and
the president of ESPN,
Dan,
hold on, resigned,
Dan,
and sent out a statement.
Yeah, Dan, I'm getting to that.
I'm sorry.
Please, Dan, get a hold of yourself. Jesus.
I just want to know that he's okay.
He's good. Dan, he's fine now. I'm just trying to tell the story here.
Take your time, buddy.
Yeah.
Stugatz, don't interrupt me, please.
So, I'm just learning this now, okay?
Dan, it happened a while. Jesus, Dan, get yourself together. Be a man, Dan.
This is the reason that I work here.
Dan, can I just get a few words?
So I don't know what's coming. I don't know what this is, but...
He's turned in his resignation.
He sent it to everybody at ESPN through all the email accounts. And he said, I'd like to share a statement I'm issuing today, as well as one from Bob Iger. It has been my absolute privilege to serve as president of ESPN.
Yeah, Dan, I'm trying to explain to you. The reason John Skipper left was, substance abuse. And a lot of people said that was kind of a phony thing at the time, just to push him out. Apparently, it's not. Apparently, it is very real. Because a lot of people thought it was, just say he's got a problem with alcohol. That'll be a nice way for him. Oh, no. Apparently, when you look at why does Jemele Hill have it? Why are Jemele Hill and Michael Smith on the set? Why does Jess Mendoza have a job? Well, apparently, because in the back offices of ESPN, you know what would be awesome? All right, Sunday Night Baseball. We're gonna put a softball player in there. John, that doesn't make any. No, it's gonna be tremendous. It's gonna be awesome.
And you know what? Let's have Aaron Boone imitate batting stances.
Oh, it's gonna be so funny. Boondoggle will call it. You get it?
Yep.
No, Dan, John, we don't get it at all. No, it's wicked funny.
He'll do one from each team.
It's his name and a word combined. You don't get it? Oh, it's gonna be awesome. Now we know why that's happening. Because a little of the nose candy going on in those ESPN offices.
You know, Mike, it's about time something broke Thursday morning before we did this podcast.
Finally. Like 20 minutes before we came in here.
Yep, Thursday morning at about 9 a.m.
So let's hear a summary of what... So,
James Andrew Miller did about a two-week interview, I'm guessing through text, or with John Skipper.
Well, he was doing a series on, I believe it's the same guy, that was doing a series on kind of the history of ESPN. So right. that must have led him to looking into John Skipper.
But anyway, so he does get a sit-down with Skipper, and he starts it off by saying on December 18th, 2017, John Skipper suddenly resigned as the president of ESPN and co-chairman of Disney Media Networks, citing his desire to seek treatment for what he called a substance addiction. The announcement shocked employees at ESPN and its parent company and was met with disbelief and confusion throughout the sports and media worlds. So we go in here, they start talking, and there's the full text, between the two of them here, so everything's recorded. Miller says, in your recent resignation statement, you wrote, I have struggled for many years with a substance addiction. I have decided that the most important thing I can do right now is to take care of my problem. Do you feel like you've done that or at least begun the process? Skipper says he did get some therapy. He went through treatment. He thought the best thing was to check himself into a facility so he was able to understand a bit more about substance abuse and to think about how it intersected with his life. So they start asking about the nature of substance abuse. So Skipper says, the statement I released was accurate. I had a substance abuse problem. I grew up wanting to be countercultural. I worked at Rolling Stone.
Mission accomplished.
I worked at Rolling Stone for the first 10 years of my professional life. I had a point of view that recreational drugs were recreational and that they weren't dangerous, that they could be used without repercussions. So Miller says, we're not talking about alcohol. He says, no.
Oh, no.
Skipper says, no, I've been a social drinker my whole life. I enjoy a martini. I enjoy a bottle of wine with friends for dinner. I've never had an issue with alcohol. I'm an old hippie. And then an old New Yorker from the 80s. So Miller says, am I safe to assume that your substance addiction was cocaine?
Yeah, man. Just whatever. Who cares?
Skipper, it'd be safe to assume that. Miller, any heroin? Skipper, never.
No.
Opioids?
Well,
I don't use opioids. I have never put a needle in my arm. I'm not interested in fentanyl. Did your cocaine use ever get in the way of your work? Now, this is the important part.
Okay.
Never. At ESPN, I did not use at work, nor with anyone at work, or anyone I did business with. I never allowed it to interfere with my work, other than a missed plane and a few canceled morning appointments. That kind of sounds like it interfered with.
A little bit.
I've never been a daily user. My use over the past two decades has been, in fact, quite infrequent. I judged that I did a very good job and that it did not get in the way of my work. I worked hard. I worked smart. I worked all the time.
It's so infrequent that I quit my job. My best friend in high school was a horrible addict. And you see kind of the excuses they make, and that's what it was. Well, I never did heroin. It's like, oh, okay, good for you, I guess. And then it's like, it never really. I only missed a few appointments and one flight. And then when you really look into it, it's 3,000 appointments you missed. They have a way of circumnavigating the truth.
So now they get into talking about that Friday when he resigned. Miller says, since that Friday was so significant, can you unpack it for us, please? Skipper, I understand why you need to ask that question, but I'm not sure how much I want to get into that, Jim. Miller fires right back, well, John, with all due respect, I'm a bit confused. There seems to be a big piece missing to this story. I'm looking at my notes. First, you share that you were an infrequent user of cocaine, something that could be true of others in the entertainment and media business. I'm not an expert in this area, but I'm not sure someone would even call that an addiction.
Right.
Second, you've stated categorically that your use never got in the way of your work. And third, you've admitted that on days leading up to your decision to resign, you had no thoughts of resigning. None of that seems to explain why you reached the decision you had to resign. I know this is difficult, John. I hope you understand why I'm pushing in a bit here. Skipper then releases this. In December, someone from who I bought cocaine attempted to extort me.
Sure.
Someone that he had never met before or bought from before.
Now,
so Miller asks again, respectfully, didn't you just say you were careful about your dealings in this area?
And that it never affected his work.
Yeah. Skipper, not this time. It turned out I wasn't careful this time. So he asks, what did they say? They threatened me. I understand immediately that the threat it put on me and my family at risk, and this exposure would put my professional life at risk as well. I foreclosed at the possibility by disclosing the details to my family, and then when I discussed it with Bob Iger, he and I agreed that I had placed the company in an untenable position, and as a result, I should resign.
So that's, again, the addict thing, where it's like, it's never affected my work. It's like, well, what about this obvious extortion?
Yeah, I just missed a few
meetings. Yeah, that one time it affected my work.
Slept in.
And then I'm sure if you did any digging, you'd see, well, what about this time? And they'd be like, okay, fine, twice. You know? And the idea that it was, that the use was so infrequent, but he was going to allow someone to extort him, I don't understand that. Because you would think, especially a business as progressive and forward-thinking as ESPN, if he said, hey, this guy is going to extort me, I want to be up front with you guys, I've used cocaine a few times, here and there. I'll go to rehab, I'll get out in front of this, whatever I need to do. I don't think it's ever affected my job, and it won't in the future. ESPN would love that, because they'd say, all right, let's make a statement. Dan Le Batard can cry again for you. Everyone can, you know, the crocodile tears will come out, and everyone say, what a great man John Skipper is.
The president of ESPN.
Dan, enough. We talked about it already. Dan, please. So they could have gotten out in front of this very easily if it really wasn't a problem. What I suspect is, and what it seems like James Andrew Miller also suspected, is that it was indeed a problem. And that's why, you know, you had some of the decisions made, some of the conflicting decisions that never quite added up to me, where it was almost like, you know, so I talked about when he hired Jess Mendoza and Jemele Hill. But then he kind of, you know, when he was coming down, he said, all right, let's throw Sean McDonough on Monday Night Football. Like, Dan, a white guy who's qualified for the job? Let's throw him in there. That's fine. And then, you know, he'll do something else crazy, like a Bomani Jones show. Or Dan Le Batard himself. Give Dan Le Batard a show. By the way, Dan Le Batard seems to only cry for guys horribly addicted to cocaine. Is that the only one? Because Jose Fernandez was the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a co-confused
evening. I think there's a little bit of that in his system, too.
Well, we can't say that. But who knows? But yeah, Dan Le Batard, very broken up about John Skipper, as we all are, I think. Because, you know, anyone that only does coke a few times and has to resign from their job, that is sad. If that's the truth, you know what? I'll cry for the guy. Because that is sad. If you use coke, you know, once a year, and you have to resign from your job because of it, that is tragic. However, I suspect that's not the case. I don't think you get extorted if you use coke once. I did Molly 3 times in college.
You rebel.
I know. Pretty cool. I'm a pretty cool guy. So I don't think if anyone witnessed me do that, which people did, I don't think anyone could now come to my employer years later and say, you know, I witnessed him do this. It would be like, well, okay, that was in college. Are you? Could we drug test you? Yeah, sure. I haven't used drugs in many years, so that wouldn't be a problem. I don't. It's very weird. I don't understand the extortion thing. If you're not using, it's bizarre to me. So I imagine this guy had some real dirt, And that's why John Skipper resigned. I assume probably not pictures, because I think if you're going to extort someone, those eventually would have been sold to TMZ.
Right.
But the guy had something for sure, some hard evidence. Because you're not just going to believe some rogue drug dealer, right? If you're ESPN. Some random guy selling coke that says, yeah, I sold John Skipper cocaine. You're not going to believe that. So obviously there's something there. I think you see why ESPN has had such a weird line of decision-making over the last few years. And now, the new president has said some things. He said, we are not a political organization. Which is a bizarre statement, because they've made a lot of their decisions based on politics. They only hire people of a certain ideology. They only, you know, they make specific hires in order to appease certain groups. I think it's a very political organization. Now, if you say we never want to talk politics, that's fine. But I think, you know, you could be viewed as hypocrites with all the Trump stuff that has been mixed in to ESPN the last couple of years. So I don't get that statement from the new guy saying we're not a political organization. Or I get it. They're lying. So I do understand it. They're just, you know, telling a lie. The other thing that baffles me with ESPN, I don't know if you saw this, Dan. Apparently the bond between the NFL and ESPN is soured.
Has it?
Because from ESPN's side, they're tired of being treated like a second-rate network. They don't like that ESPN gets the shit game every week. Monday Night Football has become essentially Thursday Night Football earlier in the week. It's a garbage game every week. ESPN doesn't like that. They wanted, you know, when they paid all that money for Monday Night Football, it was Sunday Night Football. And I think that's what they thought they were paying for. It was the best game of the week.
Right.
But because it's on cable, which it's odd. It's so odd to me that in 2018 they still have this thinking. But because it's on cable, it's different than NBC.
I mean, are there really still households out there
have ESPN?
That only have channels like 1 through 13?
No. No. I mean, that's why it doesn't make any sense to me that, like, network. It's like, ooh, network is where the money is. I can't wrap my mind.
They have a bigger budget.
But even that, I don't understand, because, you know, you would think, and I guess the numbers prove it right, because
more people watch
20 million people watch The Big Bang Theory and 6 million people watch The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? So the numbers are there to prove it. But it's never made any sense to me how that works out. And I think it's because the Nielsen ratings are so flawed. Like, it's only based on, you know, 50,000 homes or whatever it is.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It can't be right. The mathematics don't work out in my mind. But either way, ESPN said, from ESPN's side, they're like, hey, we don't want to be a second-class network just because we're cable and the others are broadcast networks. From ESPN's side, this is what baffled me. I'm sorry, from the NFL side. This is what baffled me. The NFL said they don't like the journalism coming out of ESPN, and pointed to stories from Outside the Lines and things, where they've talked about Goodell's contract. And it's like, really? That's ESPN has been a shill for the NFL. I mean, just look at Deflategate.
I mean, outside of the Patriots stories.
Even outside of the Patriots story.
That's what they don't like.
Well, that was another thing they named, was the Wickersham article. They didn't like that coming out of ESPN. And it's like, well,
a lot of that's starting to seem like it's true.
A lot of it seems very true.
We could do a whole different podcast on that.
So it's good reporting, I think. And I worry now, because with all that talk of ESPN and the NFL possibly coming to a separation down the road, Netflix said, we are not doing any live programming, we're not doing sports, we're not doing news, because we don't want to have ads. And that worries me, because, first of all, it's a lie, because eventually they're going to have ads. Because if you look at Hulu is also a paid service. That's their direct competitor. They're also a paid service that has advertising. And Hulu will, if Netflix isn't going to do it, Hulu will take the NFL or baseball. What's shocking is baseball was the first one to jump on this. They're doing like 25 games on YouTube TV this year or something like that.
Yeah, last year they did the game of the day every
day. Facebook. I think it's big games on Facebook.
It was Yahoo last year.
It's YouTube or Facebook. I forget which for baseball this year. That there's about 25 games exclusively on. So I don't know. Maybe your local market you'll be able to get it, but outside of there you can only get it on Facebook, I think it was actually. And I think they also signed a deal with YouTube. I'm talking about my ass at this point. But
isn't that the entire podcast?
Yeah, that's all it is. Essentially, it shocked me that baseball was the first one to jump on this. Well, not. I mean, the NFL has done stuff on Twitter and Yahoo.
Oh yeah, that crap.
But
thank God it's the London games.
Yeah, and but what the fact that it was Yahoo made it suck,
right?
Because it was a lot more difficult. But if it was YouTube. Or
the Twitter games, I think, came out decent, if I remember, some of the Thursday night. I think I watched Pat's Texans 2 years ago on the Twitter.
Well, the problem with that is, can you cast? Oh, yeah, you can cast Twitter to your television, right?
I'm sure.
So as long as you can cast it to the TV, it doesn't matter.
HDMI.
As long as you can do that, it doesn't matter. So why Netflix wouldn't jump on that is baffling to me. But so here's the reason I brought that up is because I think this is the road we're going down. You look at the Tom versus Time thing. And you look at, the Players Tribune. Kevin Love wrote an article on there recently about his mental state. So you have these things where players are making documentaries and writing articles on themselves. So there's no opposing side. And I think the fact that ESPN, of all places, ESPN has become the softest network. Ask Bill Simmons, who got suspended for barely criticizing Goodell. They've become the softest network, and the fact that they're catching shit from the NFL for being too hard on the league, that should be worrisome to everyone. So the road I think we're going down is that the NFL network eventually gets all the games and has their own Sunday ticket type style where they broadcast all 16 games on different channels. And baseball controls all their games, and the NBA controls all their games. So from all these networks, you're only getting their side, which in a way is dangerous. But even now, that as I'm saying it, it may be the revitalization of actual journalism, because I think that may also bring back, if ESPN and NBC and Fox, if they're not allowed to have any games 20 years down the road, that may bring back real journalism where they have no ties to the NFL. So they'll say, fuck it, we're going to report everything as real. We're going to report all the concussion stuff. We're going to report all the domestic violence stuff because we have no ties to you anymore. You don't control us. So it could be a good or bad thing. It could be where now the players are going to control the narrative and the league is going to control the narrative. Or it may be the return of journalism. Who knows? I guess we'll see. But just the fact that John Skipper and the boys even got flack. And they got rid of Sean McDonough, officially. And they're bringing in, what's the guy's name? The new Monday Night Football guy?
I don't even know.
I can't say his name. Something ridiculous. Sterator, not
the ref?
No.
Not Gene?
Gene Sterator is doing games.
Not bad.
And then they're talking about bringing in Joe Thomas. And there's a weird thing where it's like anytime a guy who's like kind of outspoken on Twitter, they're like, that's the guy, he'll be great. And it's like, well, I'll give him a year.
What about Joe Theismann? He used to be on Monday Night Football.
Joe Theismann would be good. And yeah. I like him because he brings a very sexual vibe.
He does. Now, Mike, have you ever mixed up a phrase, you know, like an old saying? Like
sure.
A tough pill to swallow.
I probably did it six times on this,
or
on this very podcast today.
You know, a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
We're maybe like talking about shelling out some money.
Let's hear it.
So, as you know, I'm sure most of our listeners know, Kirk Cousins signed a monster deal with the Vikings.
Right.
3 years, $82 million, fully guaranteed.
Guaranteed. That's insane.
Fully guaranteed. Absolutely nuts. But so he left the Redskins after they had already traded for Alex Smith, and Joe Theismann seems to think that Dan Snyder, the owner, would have had a tough time paying for that. And let's hear what
he describes it.
Yep.
You know, Kirk's deal is what it is. I mean, it played out the way he wanted it to. He's had a football team that wanted him.
Sure,
it's not
sure.
The Redskins didn't want him, but I think it would have been a big nut to swallow.
Would it, Joe?
Yep. Yep.
It would have been a salty load to swallow. It would have been rough.
Would have been tough.
It would have been rough in the back of your throat. It would have been
82 mil. That's a big one.
It definitely is. You know, also, when I think sexuality in the broadcast booth, I think of Pierre Maguire as well.
Pierre Maguire. So
John Skipper's had a rough time. And, you know, whatever I say about the guy, I think he's made a lot of bad decisions, but I hope he gets himself well. But, you know, I want to end on a light note here. Not everything is doom and gloom in broadcasting. Some guys are able to be very virile and sexual in the broadcast booth. And when I think of that, I think of Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, Pierre was in between the benches, as he usually is, on Wednesday night, rivalry night. And this was last night, March 14th, between the Rangers and the Penguins. And he had Susan Sarandon, who's a huge Ranger fan.
Sure.
Helping, I think last week they had Michael Kendricks from the Eagles in when they were in Philly, trying to spice up the broadcasts a little bit.
All right.
And so they brought Susan Sarandon in. And
yes, a hot 65-year-old, yes. Susan Sarandon.
And Pierre, you know, he started asking her if she did anything to help recruit Jimmy Vesey, the local Boston kid, to the Rangers a couple years ago. And let's hear what Pierre had to say.
Question. You know, when you were in Bull Durham, you were really good at working with young players. Now, I want to ask you about this. Is this a little recruiting advantage in 2016? Were you doing something with Jimmy Vesey to try to get him to become a New York Ranger?
Did it work?
It sure did.
Well, there you go.
Veteran experience. Mike Milbury just talked about the veterans around the league. The Rangers got to keep you around to bring in some more veterans.
It's all about young guys. It's all about the youth.
So, hey. Hey, 65-year-old respected actress. Did you have sex with any of the players to get him to come in?
If you haven't seen Bull Durham, Susan Sarandon slept with the majority of the team. So when he says you did some help with young players, yeah, she used to bang them.
Now, Susan Sarandon, even 5-10 years ago, I would have. I'm a Susan Sarandon guy.
Not
old,
now.
Old golf ball eyes. She's got a little over the hill now, I would say. But I mean, for her age. Good looking lady. But Jesus Christ, Pierre. Keep it in your pants, my man. But, you know, Tony Maz would have loved that. He would have giggled his ass off at that. But here, you know, keep it in your pants, Pierre. For God's sake. She's a respected woman in this industry. So that's, what do we have for time, Dano?
A little over a half hour.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I yammered on for that long. All right. That's enough of me. Pray for me. Pray I get another chance on Kirk and Callahan. And hopefully your prayers will be answered someday. Maybe over the summer. Who knows? And until then, subscribe to Trash Talk. Show them that you love this podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. If you're looking for the show, it's also on WEI.com and the WEI app. And I'll tweet it out at @BlindMike_. Dan tweets it out at @DYD93.
Yes, sir.
So you can follow us as well. And until next time, see you later.